everyone. I'm Angela Stevens, and I'm with the podcast Refocus with Angela Stevens. And our guest today is Rhonda Abelera, who is a leadership and executive assistant coach with CoachWell. And I'm so excited to have her on this podcast. So welcome, Rhonda.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Awesome. Wonderful. Well, the focus of the, it's kind of funny I said focus, but the focus of this podcast is to find out how other executives focus. And, you know, we all get in a rut, we get disorganized, we get, you know, just chaos, things that go on in our personal lives that can affect our workplace, that kind of thing. And so first of all, tell us a little bit about what you do in your role.
Well, as a leadership coach and executive assistant coach, it's really my passion and purpose to inspire people to find their voice and to step into their roles and become all they were meant to be. And in specifically with the executive assistants, I work with them to close the gap of lack of communication and bad rapport with their bosses to help create a dynamic relationship that will be a success to them and to their company.
You know, I find that, first of all, I find that so interesting because you see a lot of coaches out there. You find business coaches, ADHD coaches, but you don't find executive assistant coaches very much. And I think that is so interesting because any CEO out there or any kind of leader in a corporation, you know, sometimes that executive assistant is their right arm person. Right. And so when they're frustrated or they're not getting the results that they're looking for versus, you know, letting them go and hiring somebody different, this is an option. Right. And to go with you and walk me through a little bit that, you know, let's say we have a corporate executive that wants to, you know, help their assistant versus replacing them. What's the process that you go through, you know, after you, you know, say, okay, we're going to sign on, we're going to help this person. What is the process that you go through?
You know, the first thing we do is we do a DISC assessment, and that's basically just a behaviors and modifiers test to first understand, you know, who they are, because a lot of times the lack of communication is not because they're a bad person, they're a bad assistant or a bad boss. It's just they don't know how to talk. And I would say that's the number one thing that we start with is the communication. And it seems so simple, but you'd be surprised of how difficult it can become.
Definitely. So we're going to talk a little bit about you, but I'm fascinated about this. So can you give us an example of, let's say you've had an assistant that, you know, just, it wasn't working. You were halfway through. What do you do at that point? Because here, you know, you've got a leader that's hired you to help this person and you're doing the best you can, but you're not seeing the result. What do you do at that point?
Well, sometimes it's back to basics. What, you know, did we skip over something? Did we not get the communication piece, you know, down yet? It's easy to start out great and go, yes, we're going to communicate, we're going to meet. And then you find out down the road that's not happening. And you got to start again, you know, back to basics, getting that boss and that assistant on the same page, not only in their communications, but in their styles. And that's another thing that a lot of times the issue is their style. Mm-hmm. And so I've seen executive get rid of assistant after assistant because he can't find anybody to understand him or her.
Right. And you know, that's an interesting point because as leaders, people that become CEOs or COOs, you know, they're in their 40s, 50s, 60s, you know, and they are, you know, in the senior level market. And then we've got these millennials that are coming in and it's a different mindset. And so there's got to be a disconnect, right, between the two. And I'm sure you help them bridge that gap.
Oh, they're talking different languages. It's like teaching them both the same language. And you know, It's funny. They're both waiting for each other. The executive is waiting for the assistant to get it, and the assistant's waiting for the executive to tell them what to do. And what I have found is that if you can give that assistant a voice and the ability to communicate with clarifying questions and initiative, the boss then starts to understand how valuable this assistant can be.
To our audience out there, I would just say, you know, I've got experience myself. I own three businesses and I have a search firm, and I have actually, that's how I met Rhonda. And not that I had any issues with my assistants, but just for more professional development. And she was amazing. And that's actually why we chose her to be a guest on our show today, because she not only helped the individual in their role, but they helped them personally on their journey with their career. And it was a great experience. So, so first of all, I enjoyed getting to know you that way. And I love listening to now, you know, situations that you come across that can help others that might be listening. So let me ask you this about you. So, you know, you've got to be distracted as well. I mean, you know, we all have things in life that come across. How do you focus on your career now versus, you know, let's say 5, 10, or 15 years ago when you started, you know, maybe or even longer that you started working in this area, you know, how has your focus changed?
You know, that's a great question. About 10, 15 years ago, I was still in corporate America, working in a big construction company. And, you know, I think then my focus was just try to get through the day, you know, just try to, you know, please my boss and do a good job. But I really didn't understand the piece about being balanced, because, you know, when I tell a lot of my clients, you bring yourself to work. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it doesn't work to come in pieces, you know, leave the best part of yourself at home and, mm-hmm. and take the other part to work. And once I understood that, once I realized that you've got to have balance in your life, you've got to shore up the weak areas in your life, you're going to show up better mm-hmm. at work. That's probably what I focus on today more than anything.
And that was my next question, is that, you know, today when you're distracted and you've got to pull it together, you know, do you have that secret method out there that all of us would love to know? Because you've got to be on, right, when you're working with these assistants, because if they don't believe in you, they're not going to make change.
You know what? I can't pretend I'm on. You know what I mean? When I show up for a call, I've got to be on, and it's got to be authentic, because I only bring my authentic self mm-hmm. to them. Mm-hmm. And I don't try to pitch anything that I haven't tried or true, you know, haven't done myself. And, right. But the secret of that though is staying balanced in my own life. And so say I've got to put more energy into one area of my life, the rest of me is not going to fall apart, because I've already shored up everything, if that makes sense.
It does. Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I'm not even sure if you, you know, work solo, if you manage a team, I'm not sure about that, but if you have, or if you have worked with assistants that, you know, have to manage a team, or CEOs, how do you get them to re-engage if the leader of that team has lost their focus? Like, how do they do that? I think that's so fascinating, because the worst thing, you know, people want to be in is going into work and having a supervisor, if they've had a bad day, and then everyone feels it, right? So to that leader out there who manages a team, you know, what advice would you give to them?
Well, you know, I would say you're working with people with feelings and emotions. Mm-hmm. And a lot of disengagement comes with not feeling valued and respected. And mm-hmm. I would sit that leader down again and say, hey, you got to meet together with your team. You've got to hear them and understand where they are. You know, ask the questions, you know, why aren't you meeting the deadlines? Why are you disengaged? And you'd probably get an earful if you were really willing to listen.
Right.
And then you can work on solutions and how to, you know, re-engage with whatever was at hand, whether it's a project or something else.
Yeah, that's excellent. And I think a lot of leaders would love to have that guidance sometimes, because again, you know, leading a company, as I own an executive search firm, I work with CEOs all the time, and people think, oh, it's so easier. You've got, you know, you're at the top, but sometimes it's lonely at the top, right? And you've got to run the company. You have to lead people, and it, you know, they need their support as well. So I always encourage CEOs that I work with, if they're ever going to that time, to reach out to get that coaching, because it will not only help themselves, but it will help the people that work for them.
Exactly right. And you can't strong arm people they will follow you if you're a good leader, but it's hard to lead when no one's following you.
Exactly. Well, and people leave, you know, people will leave for different jobs. And that's the last thing that any company leader wants for their business.
Absolutely.
You know, so tell me, by the way, so outside of work for you, you know, what are you passionate about? I mean, how, you know, like, you know, we all work and it seems like, I don't know about you, but it seems like we work more and more and more with more hours. It's constant, right? So what, first of all, what are you passionate about in your personal life? And then how do you balance that with your career?
I'm a real people-oriented person. I love people. I love my family. I've got 3 grandkids, which I'm very passionate about. I love spending time with my family. I love giving to others and investing in their lives. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's all about balance. Because I find if I'm out of balance, you know, in any way in my life, it shows up in other areas of my life. Mm-hmm. But once you're passionate about something, that fuels you for every aspect of your life. You've got to have a passion about something.
Right. Definitely. So, and I think that, you know, I think that's something that's very important is that it, you know, it's not healthy to work and have no break. And, no, you know, cause I think I watched an article today on, employers that are actually trying to create, you know, another way of giving that relief to their employees because we're asking more and more and, you know, we can't, you know, we're all people at the end of the day, at the end of the day, we're all human. So, one thing I wanted to ask you is, you know, I'm not sure if you give speeches, but I know a lot of corporate leaders give speeches and presentations. And so, you know, a lot of people, you know, they call it stage fright, right? And so yeah. When people are getting ready to go on stage, and I think there's a little bit of that in everyone, right? But can you tell us, you know, when people are getting ready to go on stage, you know, what that, you know, what advice you'd give to them?
You know, it's easy to look out in a crowd and get afraid to get in front of them. You know, but when it all comes down to it, they're just people too. And a lot of it is what you feel inside about yourself. It's what are you telling yourself? Mm-hmm. And you've got to say the right things to yourself. You've got to say the positive things that you have a great message to give and you have a lot to share. And these people are going to love hearing what you're going to say, as opposed to, oh my goodness, I'm so afraid. Or, you know, I'm too nervous to talk. What is that chatter going on in your head? You got to get a hold of that.
Right. Absolutely. I am big on positive affirmations and building yourself up. I'm probably one of these self-help junkies, to be honest about it. And I do. I think I read every book in it. So I'm always fascinated about that. But one thing, you know, I go back thinking about all of the guests that we have lined up for the podcast, which is really exciting. And as you said, we're all people. Right? We all have problems that come up with our children, our family. You know, a lot of people are not only parenting their children, they're parenting their parents as well. Right. And so has there ever been an experience in your life where, you know, everything is just kind of falling apart? And if so, and you may or may not have, but if there has been that point, you know, how did you pull it together and overcome that?
Oh my goodness. Yes, there was. And you know, it's some of my best material actually, but I was working with my friend on a production and we put drama together and I was the drama director and I really loved that role. It just really inspired me. But she was the producer of the project and the boss, of course. But there became a time after a few years that I felt like she began to question my abilities. Mm. And then on the next project, my role was given to somebody else and it kind of felt like a sucker punch, you know?
Right.
And man, I had to dig down deep into my own attitudes and my own ambitions. And it came back to a really simple thing. I had to be willing to take a lesser role or do something different and be a team player. And man, talk about an attitude adjustment, but it was a humbling experience. But the win of that story is that it kind of helped me win back the relationship that I had and the confidence that my boss had in me and I was able to kind of regain some footing. When those kind of things happen, it's always good to kind of assess, okay, what went wrong? What part did I play? What could I have done better? Where did the, you know, shakiness come from in, right, in what she was thinking of me? And it only made me better, to tell you the truth. If you dig down deep enough and you own the things that you did and the things that you can improve in, and you keep that humble attitude, you can only get better. And and I felt like it really helped me shore up some areas, to be honest.
You know, that it's interesting because that situation reminds me of a lot of executives that I interview as well, that when they have had a position and then they are demoted, or all of a sudden they're once a vice president, now they are a director or a manager. And I always tell people, you know, your job becomes your identity, and it's really difficult to, you know, face your coworkers and go back in and do that. And it sounds like that's so similar to that feeling that you went through in that situation.
Well, you said a really key thing. When you lose your role or your title, a lot of people lose their identity. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the exercise I had to go through, is really finding my identity again. It wasn't the title that I thought I had, you know, right, it was the value and the worth that I had in my core. And, you know, and I had to show up with confidence, even though I didn't have the title any longer.
I've had many people that go through that, and I feel for them, but I always tell them that it's a learning process. It's an experience that will only really make them better. It's going to make them a better person. They're going to learn from it, and they're going to build from it if they choose to take that attitude and to take that route. And I think you would probably agree with that as well.
Oh my goodness. I have seen a lot of people that can't ever get there. Mm-hmm. And it's always a blame game, you know. Oh, they demoted me, they made me fail, they did this. And for somebody that can never take the ownership of that, they're going to be in a cycle of that.
That is so, honestly, I love what you just said, because, you know, that is where, even whether you're an executive assistant or a leader, that is where somebody like that, you could really help, because you're the type of person that could say, hey, you know, let's take a look here. Why, you know, why are you feeling, you know, what is this? Why are, you know, what's that roadblock? And so I think that is a great avenue for you to look at, because a lot of people don't know where to go either. They don't know how to reach out for that help, and they're embarrassed about it. And I think this is an avenue that if someone's listening to this now, I think, you know, you could potentially be a great resource for them.
Oh, absolutely. It comes up every time, let me tell you.
Yeah, no, definitely. So back on your personal life. So looking back, you know, you're a success today. So if you think about people that have been in your life, who's been influential? What did you learn from them?
This is the same person I worked for that I had that experience in, because it was a long-term thing that I did a lot of projects with them. This was the music director that I worked with at my church. And I looked at her, as she was relentless in how she accomplished things. She had the ability to pull together hundreds of people, volunteer people, to do projects. And I looked at what she was able to do. And the one thing that I think made the difference is everybody was valuable. Everybody was on the team. Everybody played a crucial part. And people just love to work on something bigger than themselves and to feel very valued and part of the team. I've really taken that away and learned from that to make everybody that I work with feel valued. Mm-hmm. Because everyone has something to contribute. You know, everyone has different gifts and abilities, but everybody has something of value.
Most definitely. You know, it's interesting when we do research in our search firm, what I have found is, you know, the people that if they change jobs, it's not the money. It's really not the title. It is recognition and appreciation. And that is the biggest thing that we hear. And the other thing is that they want a seat at the table. They want to feel valued, that their boss is going to listen to them, or that they're going to be a part of the team and not have to sit back and watch everyone else go back in the closed door room without them. And so I think there's a lot to be said for that. And I've seen it and heard it, and I keep hearing it. So you just echoed what I was thinking as well. One thing I wanted to mention is, you know, first of all, how long have you been doing coaching for executive assistants?
It's about 2.5 years now.
Have you ever had anybody, and it could have been a leader, could have been an assistant, but where they felt like everyone was against them? Maybe society, maybe their staff members, maybe, you know, where they go into work and they kind of feel targeted. How do you get out of that? How do you grow from that? Because that's, you know, that's hard. You know, losing your jobs is feeling like losing your identity. But when you go in and you feel like you are not welcome, or, you know, you're walking into the enemy per se, what advice would you give to somebody like that? Or have you dealt with that situation?
Yes, I have in several situations. It's a victim mentality, basically. Mm-hmm. And it's a really hard thing to change, because you treat other people how to treat you so much of the time. Mm-hmm. And when you change how you are responding, and, you know, really people like that don't realize how they're responding to people. They don't realize how they're showing up. Mm-hmm. And they just invite that kind of negative stuff toward them, and they don't realize that. So the first thing I do is help them be aware of, you know, what they're saying, what they're thinking, how they're presenting themselves. And once you can change that, you start changing the dynamics of how they respond to people, and it changes other people's response to them.
And I get a lot of feedback like that as well. And you're right. It's a choice, right? At some point they have to make a choice to change. And to change not only their behavior, but their attitude, saying, hey, maybe I might be a part of the problem. Or if I'm not a part of the problem, how do I fix this? How do I get through this? You know? So, and I think it's almost like somebody feels threatened when they walk in. And I would, I don't know about you, but I would say, you know, hold your shoulders high and take some responsibility, maybe where you might've been a part of the problem, but you can be part of the solution.
Absolutely. It's hard for some people to see that, you know, I've seen some really successful stories. Once they've understood that, they've turned a sour relationship with a boss around and changed it for the better. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it only makes you stronger to be able to own up to things.
Right. Exactly. So back to you. All right. So in the morning, I have to ask this question, because, you know, we all have bad days, right? We get up and maybe we have a headache, or we're just, you know, I don't know, the older we get, right? It's like harder every day. But, you know, for you, can you tell us what your morning routine is?
Yeah. And you know what, if I skip it, I really feel it, to be honest. Man, I need quiet time in the morning. I need to kind of, I have devotions, and I, you know, just kind of realign myself with God. And I just kind of have some quiet moments with a cup of coffee.
And to the audience, she doesn't have children at home. I'm just joking. No, go. I always admire people that can find that time, because my son is now in college, but it's, you know, going to school and getting lunches and things like that. It gets a little hectic.
You know what? I work with some young moms that do have kids at home, and that is the hardest piece for them. Mm-hmm. And you know what I tell them? I say, hey, if you can't do it in the morning, do it during nap time, do it when the kids are in school, you know, just find some time in the day to, you know, just get your mind and your wits about you, you know?
That's great advice. So anyway, I didn't mean to interrupt. So going back though, okay, so you have your devotions.
I go to the gym. Sometimes, hey, we get snowing in the winter. And I have to tell you, that's a challenge. But I tell myself, again, I have to talk myself into it sometimes. Hey, you get there, even if you do 20 minutes on the treadmill, you're winning the day. But then when I get there, I trick myself into doing longer. But you know, it's just right. A little secret I have to do.
It's a mental game that we have to work, you know, that we have to tell ourselves that, hey, we've got to go to the gym. We've got to get up. We've got to do this, you know? And so you're right. It takes discipline. And I always think of sports, you know, athletes that are, you know, going for marathons, and it's the same thing. It's if you're going to really give 150% that day, you know, do what you got to do to get yourself together for that day and, you know, move forward. So I wanted to ask you too about your family as well. Does your family, do they go to the gym with you even when the grandkids come in? Did they do that, or do they say for?
Oh my goodness. I have tried to get my husband to go with me, but he doesn't. And so I used to have friends that I would go with consistently, but I've had to learn to go by myself. But you know what? I listen to podcasts. I listen to music. That's actually really great. I love that time alone. Awesome. Even. And it's just a part of my day. And you know, the other piece of it is I need connections with people, you know, with friends and family, with grandkids. Everybody needs a posse. You need those people in your life that you speak into their lives and they speak into your lives. And you need those friends that are truth tellers that will say, hey, you know, what's going on with you?
Right.
You know, that's something that a coach can do too. A coach can speak into your life in a way that maybe your family wouldn't.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So you mentioned that you listen to podcasts. What kind of podcast do you listen to?
I listen to a lot of inspirational messages. I listen to some of the TED Talks I'm interested in. And then I, you know, just in my career as a coach, I enjoy listening to other coaches and what they have to say and, you know, how they do things.
Mm, I think you're a self-help junkie just like I am, actually.
If you were to see my bookshelf in my office, you would agree with me.
Yeah, I think we probably have some of the same books, actually. So that's awesome. I do the same thing as well. So first of all, you said that it gets a little cold where you're at. Where are you based out of?
Bend, Oregon.
Bend, Oregon. Okay, so your company is called Coach Well, and you provide executive assistant coaching. You do leadership coaching. And they can find you. What is your website again?
It's www.coachwell.com.
Okay. So, and if anyone wants to reach out to Rhonda, we've got her information on our show notes. You can go to our website, and it's it's Time to Refocus. So it's TIME, the number 2, and refocus.com. And that's where you'll find copies of this podcast as well, and then information about Rhonda. But I can say for personal experience, my experience working with Rhonda has been terrific. She was the first person I thought of when we were thinking about, you know, who really has an impact on people's lives. So I have one big question for you. What is it? Okay, so you're getting in your car at work and you're going to work. What's the music that you that really gets you going?
You know, I love, well, being from Bend, Oregon, I love country music. But inspirational music is actually what gets me down deep. And the song I'm really focusing on these last few weeks has been the song by Lauren Daigle that says, "You Say." The song speaks about who I am and what I'm about. And so that goes down deep. That always really is a refreshing, inspirational song for me.
That's interesting. You know, music, I always tell people, music can change your mood, and it's so important. It can bring you up. It can calm you down. To me, music is very healing. And I think a lot of people would love to. That's a great suggestion for them. Well, thank you, Rhonda. This has been terrific. I have learned a lot myself from this. And I, like I said, I'm excited that we can hopefully let people know about you and what you do. And if anyone's listening out there, I think that when you talk with Rhonda, she's like talking to a great friend that lives next door. So even though she's in Oregon, she works nationwide, and they do a lot of, you do video conferencing as well, right? Or do you? You do video conferencing. Yeah, they do video conferencing. They do phone conferencing. And like I said, it's definitely worth your time. So thank you, Rhonda. I'm so grateful for your time. And we appreciate you being a part of this podcast.
Thanks, Angela. It's been great to talk with you.
You bet. Hey, thank you so much for joining us today. It was a great pleasure of mine to speak with Rhonda Abelera with Coachwell. If you are interested in learning more about Rhonda, feel free to check out our website at timetorefocus.com. That's T-I-M-E, the number two, refocus.com. We'll put some show notes and information about how to reach Rhonda if you are interested. Also, we want to thank our sponsor today, which is Refocus, the creative office. You can find more information out about them at T-I-M-E, the number two, refocus.com. What they do is they create products that make your life easier. And the coolest thing is that all of their products are created through the eyes of a child with ADHD. So again, thanks so much. I can't wait for you to hear who's going to be our next guest on our show. You're going to love it. See you next time.